The Micro Language Lab, Learning the 6809, is a presentation of Green Mountain Micro.
Hello again. Now that you have a firm grounding in using the Editor Assembler, I've got to talk about some things that don't make me very happy. And those things make up the jargon of microprocessor programming. It struck me that the major barrier to programming in assembly language is just the terminology. The concepts themselves are fairly simple. Sometimes, actually, they're far too simple and endlessly tedious for fun, but they're nevertheless simple. But that simplicity also derives out of the arbitrariness, I guess, of their origins. I don't want to sound especially philosophical, but I've often been asked the question, why? Why load and store instead of something like input data and output data? Why a clumsy-sounding word like immediate? How did the binary values get chosen for the instructions? And question after question of that nature. The answers go back to the early days of computers and processors. In the same way that a word of 8 binary digits became a word of 8 bits, and that in turn became known as a byte, many of the terms involved in assembly programming are just arbitrary, sometimes tongue-in-cheek, and just choices that stuck. Some were chosen because the alternatives are worse. Load immediate, for example. Load absolute implies a positive number, so that one's out. Saying load this number or load what's next sounds a little too silly for programming, even though the number sign actually precedes the operand and it really is what's next. But the jargon can get overwhelming. If that weren't so, you probably wouldn't be listening to these tapes. It's not the programming itself that's hard. It's learning the language from the descriptive terms through the programming actions. Yet, I believe that jargon, especially here, is essential to facilitating communication. That's, of course, so long as you know the jargon. A friend of mine once wrote that we're not intimidated by admitting in pure modern jargon, I took a 747 nonstop. We wouldn't think of saying I flew inside a big silver bird who never paused to eat or drink. And there's some truth in that comment. In the earlier lessons, some of you probably got tired of hearing me say American Standard Code for Information Interchange. You knew I meant ASCII, I knew I meant ASCII, so why didn't I say so? Well, I wanted you to know intuitively that this was a code for the interchange of information, not just letters. So I repeated it. In a similar way, I was always mystified by hockey terminology. Here were tens of thousands of people understanding the announcer's every phrase, understanding the motion of the puck as if it were their own heartbeats. I ate some popcorn, yelled a little, but mostly, especially in the beginning, read the advertisements on the sideboards. The game began to take on multiple levels of excitement only when I began to understand its language. Now, there are those who consciously attempt to alter a language to simplify it, even to the point of creating new languages in the process. Basic was one of the successes. On the other hand, Esperanto was one of the failures. The contemporary Russian alphabet apparently was a success, but the Chicago School of Spelling for American English was a failure. I have an example relevant to this particular course. The creators of the Z80 processor thought that load and store were really just directional variants of one concept, so they decided all such actions would be called loads. Now, that decision, while advantageous for learning the Z80 processor, stands in the way of someone being fluent on several microprocessors. It's made the Z80 dialect different from the 6809 dialect, where those variants were even further refined into loads, stores, and transfers. I'm not stalling in the lesson here. I'm trying to prepare you for the details of this lesson. The terms I'm going to introduce all have specific meanings, and some are quite elegant summaries of complicated concepts. You already know one of them, the indexed addressing mode. There's a lot like that coming up, so take your time. Don't rush. Review when you need to, or even when you think you just might have to. In essence, you hired me to do this job, and I'm going to patiently re-explain as often as you'd like me to. The topic is addressing modes. That's how the processor obtains the data it needs to complete a given instruction. For this topic, I'd like you to follow along with me in the documentation. These things are often easier to see than to say, especially when it comes to mnemonics. You'll also need to open your MC6809E data booklet to page 15 and have a marker on page 26. You want to get that booklet now. MC6809 data booklet. Open it to page 15 and put a marker on page 26. While you're finding your place, and before actually discussing addressing modes, I'd like to recap the concept of addressing itself. The 6809 microprocessor has an 8-bit data bus and a 16-bit address bus. This means that it has 24 electrical connections to an external line of memory cells. A memory cell in this line is activated when it receives its particular 16-bit binary number from the processor on the address bus. Each memory cell is electrically connected in such a way that it, and only it, can respond to that binary address. When it responds, data is sent from or received by the 6809 along the 8-bit data bus. 6809 sends the address, memory responds by sending or receiving the data. You don't need to know much about this electrical process. For programming purposes, you take it on faith that the machine's designers have organized the connections properly so that when your program wants information from, say, memory location hex 1234, memory location hex 1234 will respond appropriately and provide your program with that information. Later, you'll learn a little more about dealing with computer input and output, for which a touch of, electronics will enter into the discussion. As for addressing, you know now that the processor takes both its program and its data from memory and stores its data in memory. Up to this point, I've presented concrete examples of specific memory uses to store and execute the opcodes and operands of a program and to store a table of data. I don't feel that learning through concrete example alone will broaden your programming abilities, so now it's on to the discussion of addressing modes. If at any point you get lost in the jargon or feel shaky about this, remember, an addressing mode is how the machine language program gets its information. No matter how complex this gets, that summary is what it does. An addressing mode is how the machine language program gets its information. Look at page 15 in the MC6809E data booklet. As noted, there are 7 major categories of addressing modes in the 6809: inherent, register, immediate, extended, direct, indexed, and relative. The next 2 lessons will cover all 7 modes. I'll save for later the 3 variants called extended, indirect, extended, indexed, indirect, and program counter relative. Throughout this discussion, please remember that opcode means the machine language instruction and that operand means it's data. Inherent addressing is the simplest mode. In this mode, all the information needed to complete the processor instruction is already present as part of the instruction itself. In other words, the address of the data needed to complete the instruction is inherent in the address of the instruction's opcode, which the processor's already got. You've used 2 of these inherent instructions up to this point: clear A accumulator, mnemonic CLRA, hex code 4F, and return from subroutine, RTS, hex code 39, both of which are inherent addressing. They have all they need to get the job done. Other examples of this mode are multiply A accumulator times B accumulator, MUL, hex 3D. There's also complement A accumulator, that is, turn all 0 bits to 1 and all 1 bits to 0, mnemonic COMA, hex 43, and even no operation, NOP or no op, hex code 12, which does nothing but waste time. If this last one sounds a little strange to you, you'll later discover how important it can be to waste time, since machine language actually moves too fast for some kinds of programming. The second mode is register addressing. In this case, the information needed by the program is transferred from one register to another. For example, the familiar transfer value from A accumulator to B accumulator, TFR A, B, is register addressing. The instruction is 2 bytes. The opcode meaning transfer from register to register, that's hex code 1F, and the operand called a post byte, identifying which goes where, in this case, 89 for transferring A to B. Another example of register addressing that you've used is push Y and pull Y, hex 3420 and hex 3520. New examples include exchange registers, 2 bytes with an opcode of 1E, and all the other push and pull instructions, opcodes 34 and 35, respectively. Don't be confused by the MC6809E data booklet. Register addressing is easy. The data booklet first suggests that register addressing can be thought of as either distinct from or the same as inherent addressing. I leave that up to you because the MC6809E data booklet can't make up its mind either. The booklet clearly distinguishes between register and inherent addressing on page 15, but calls them both inherent on pages 26 and 27. To insist in the confusion, it even calls one group immediate on page 29. So, I prefer to consider register addressing as distinct from inherent addressing. The opcode is all the information in the inherent mode, but in register addressing, the data necessary to complete the instruction is described by a postbyte. If I've just confused you, then you may, as the judge says, disregard my previous remarks. To recap, inherent addressing is a mode in which the address of the operand also addresses the data needed to complete the instruction, since the data is an inherent part of the instruction itself. Register addressing is similar to inherent addressing, and often includes a second byte known as a postbyte to furnish additional information needed to complete the instruction. Inherent and register addressing include clearing, incrementing, decrementing, and other internal single register commands, exchanging, transferring, and other register-to-register commands, stack pushes and pulls, subroutine returns, and one-of-a-kind specialized arithmetic functions such as multiply, sign exchange, and add B register to X register. Very specialized instruction. If you wish, review inherent and register addressing in your documentation. For review, turn the tape off now. Immediate addressing is very transparent. The data to be used is found at the address immediately following the instruction itself in program order. Among examples you've already used are load X register with the value hex 3000 written LDX number $3000 and subtract the value hex 41 from B accumulator written sub B number $41. And compare X register with 0800 written CMPX number $0800. Other examples of immediate addressing include such logical instructions as AND A accumulator with an immediate value OR B accumulator with an immediate value, exclusive OR, and so forth. Arithmetic such as ADD A accumulator and SUBTRACT A accumulator, and the now familiar LOAD A, LOAD B, LOAD X, LOAD Y, etc. with an immediate value. The mnemonic notation for immediate addressing always includes the number sign in front of the operand, which tells the editor, use this data. Remember that, because later on, when two very similar forms of this come up, you have to be able to distinguish them. The number sign in front of the operand tells the editor, use this data, and that means it's immediate addressing. Extended addressing is next. The word extended implies reaching out, and extended addressing is just that. In extended addressing, the information following the opcode, that is, following the machine language instruction itself, is not the data. What follows the opcode is the address in memory where the data can be found, rather than the actual data to be used. Here's an example. You've used LDX number $3000, load X with the immediate value hex 3000. In extended addressing, you might use the notation LDX $3000. Notice the number sign's missing. It's very similar, but it has an entirely different meaning. Glance at the documentation so you'll see what I'm describing. LDX number sign dollar sign 3000 is immediate addressing. LDX dollar sign 3000 does not contain the number sign in front of the operand. That means that hex 3000 is not the data, but is the address in memory where the processor will find the data to be loaded into X. Did a question come to mind? Actually, I hope a question came to mind. And here it is. How can the 16-bit X register load the 8-bit data at address 3000? Well, since the data at address 3000 is only an 8-bit word, and since the X register requires 16 bits, the instruction decoder sees to it that the process is completed correctly. The information loaded into X is, in fact, all 16 bits. The first byte comes from the address specified by the operand, in this case, 3000, and the second byte comes from the next address, in this case, 3001, in order. The instruction decoder takes care of that. The first byte comes from the address specified by the operand, and the second byte comes from the next address in order. Extended addressing is used for both 8- and 16-bit registers. If the command were load A accumulator with hex 3000 extended, LDA, $3000, then, the instruction decoder would make sure the 8-bit value at address 3000 was loaded into the 8-bit A accumulator. Here are two concrete examples. The instruction is LDX $1234. Load X extended 1234. Address 1234 contains AB, and address 1235 contains FF. After executing the instruction LDX 1234, the X register will contain ABFF. That's the information found at addresses 1234 and 1235. Here's another one. The instruction is load B, hex 8888 extended. Address 8888 contains hex 10. After executing the instruction load B, extended 8888, the B accumulator will contain the value 10. In all this, the 6809 processor's task is to be smart enough to place the information found at the specific memory location into the correct registers, making sure the number of bytes taken from sequential memory locations matches the size of the register requesting the data. Direct addressing obtains data for program use with great speed and memory economy. It's one of the most frequently used addressing modes. It depends on the organization of memory into pages. A page is a specific term in assembly language programming, meaning those 256 contiguous bytes of memory whose most significant byte is in common. For example, page 00 contains the 256 addresses 0000 to 00FF. Page 01 contains addresses 0100 to 01FF. Page FE contains addresses FE00 to FEFF. The 6809 and other 8-bit processors have a total of 256 pages of 256 bytes. Return to the MC6809E data booklet and turn to Figure 5 on page 5. Figure 5 on page 5 of the MC6809E data booklet. That's the 6809 architecture you've been using already. Up to this point, you have been introduced to all registers in the 6809 except one, the direct page register. Into the direct page register is transferred the most significant byte of an address. In earlier processors, the direct page was fixed, usually to page 00, and consequently there was no direct page register. But the 6809 has this direct page register because its direct addressing can be done anywhere in memory. Well, so what's the point of it? First, each instruction using direct addressing takes one less byte of memory than immediate or extended addressing. Since the most significant byte is always ready to use in the direct page register, that byte need not be stored in program memory as part of the operand. Secondly, since direct addressing fetches one less byte from memory, the instruction can be completed faster. So, direct addressing is both memory efficient and speed efficient. The mnemonic notation for direct addressing uses the less than sign in front of the operand. For example, with the direct page set to hex AA, the instruction load accumulator $$80. LDA $80 would load the A accumulator with the value found at memory location AA80. Direct page is set to AA, so load A direct hex 80 would load the accumulator from memory location AA80. Beyond the economy of speed and memory, however, direct addressing is identical in principle to extended addressing. The desired data is not the operand itself, but found at the memory location specified by the operand. To review some examples of immediate, extended, and direct addressing, follow me in your documentation booklet. Load X, immediate, 1234, written LDX, $$1234, is immediate addressing, loading the value hex 1234 into the X register. Load X extended 1234, written LDX, $1234, is extended addressing, loading the value found in memory at addresses 1234 and 1235 into the X register. Load X direct 34, written LDX $34, is direct addressing. With the direct page register set to 12, the value found at addresses 1234 and 1235 is loaded into the X register. You're going to want to be looking at the booklet for this. LDX $34 is direct addressing. TFR Y, X, that's how transfer Y to X is written, and that's register addressing. If the value of the Y register is 1234, then the X register will be loaded with the value of Y, or 1234. Load B, immediate hex 56, written LDB, $56, is immediate addressing, loading the value of 56 hex into the B accumulator. LDB, $56, is extended addressing, loading the value found in memory at address 0056 into the B accumulator. Now, the assembler will take care of this for you. It assumes that if you leave off the leading zeros, you intended to specify all the leading zeros. So actually, formally, LDB 0056 is extended addressing. However, by writing it LDB $56, the assembler assumes you mean address 0056. On the other hand, direct addressing, LDB $56, forces the assembler to assume you specified direct addressing. With the direct page set to 00, the value found at address 0056 is loaded into the B accumulator. Look at those three examples again when this lesson is over. LDB, load B, immediate, hex 56. LDB, load B, extended, hex 56. And load B, direct, hex 56. Transfer A to B, TFR A, B, is register addressing. If the value of the A accumulator is hex 56, then the B accumulator will be loaded with the value hex 56. Compare Y, immediate 789A, CMPY, $789A, is immediate addressing, comparing the value of the Y register with the actual value 789A. Compare Y, extended 789A, written CMPY, $789A is extended addressing, comparing the value of the Y register with a value found in memory at locations 789A and 789B. Compare Y less than $9A. That CMPY less than $9A is direct addressing. With a direct page register set to hex 78, the values found at 789A and 789B are compared with the value in the Y register. Compare A immediate with BC. That's CMPA. Number sign, dollar sign, BC, is immediate addressing, comparing the value of the A accumulator with the actual value, hex BC. CMPA, dollar sign BC, that's compare A extended BC, is extended addressing, comparing the value of the A accumulator with a value found in memory at 00 BC. And finally, CMPA, less than dollar BC, compare A direct with hex BC, is direct addressing. With a direct page register set to 00, the value found at 00 BC is compared with the value in the A accumulator. To review major points, addressing is the manner in which the program obtains the data it needs. An opcode is a machine language instruction. An operand is the information needed to complete an instruction. The inherent addressing mode contains only an opcode. That opcode contains sufficient information to complete the instruction. Because there's no operand needed to provide additional data, the data is inherent in the address of the instruction. Inherent addressing. The register addressing mode contains an opcode and usually a postbyte. The opcode tells the processor which kind of instruction will be executed, and the postbyte defines which registers will be used to complete the instruction. Hence, register addressing. The immediate addressing mode contains an opcode and one or two bytes of actual data. The opcode tells the processor what kind of instruction to execute, and the bytes of data are the specific information that is used by the processor to complete the instruction. Immediate addressing. The extended addressing mode contains an opcode and two bytes of data. The opcode tells the processor what kind of instruction to execute, and the bytes of data are combined to create a resulting address. At that address is found the data used by the processor to complete the instruction. The direct addressing mode contains an opcode with one byte of data. The opcode tells the processor which kind of instruction to execute. The byte of data is used as the least significant byte of an address, and the processor's internal direct page register is used as the most significant byte of the address. At the resulting address is found the data used by the processor to complete the instruction. This is direct addressing. Now, please don't consider addressing modes to be picky stuff. Virtually all the programming power of the 6809 processor comes from these addressing variants. That's what makes the 6809 a powerful processor. I hope you'll review this lesson several times until each of these five addressing modes begins to make sense. After that, continue with the next lesson, which contains the remaining addressing modes.